Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG tonight. We have a big hack happening. The people who have atomic wallets on their phone. I had one, but I hadn't put money on it. But people who have atomic wallet are at risk of getting all of their funds stolen in the crypto space. Very sad events. We'll go through what we know about the hack. Looking at it from just the public reports about it, I would guess that there's probably at least thousands of people who have lost all of their crypto. Some of them, it's super small amounts. Some of them, we're talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars disappeared, and there will be no way to recover them ever. It's my fear. It looks like a very manual hack. It's a hack that seems to exploit this weakness that we knew. That's exactly why I don't recommend software wallet for long-term storage. Sometimes you may use them for temporary purposes to transfer from one place to another for an emergency. But ultimately, the safest bet is hardware wallets. The big problem of software wallets is that they keep the keys on the computer, the seed keys or the private key in one or the other format. They keep the private thing that gives you access to your Bitcoin on the phone or on your computer, and that becomes accessible eventually to someone else. People were pointing out that Atomic Wallet appears to have been denounced as previously, their programmers refused to implement more safe crypto practices, cryptographic practices. It would have to do perhaps with the way they were encoding. It seems that they were encoding by password the seed keys on the phone, but they weren't encoding it in a developer enclave. A developer enclave is it's an encoded file, which makes it such that only one of your apps on your phone can have access to the seed keys. So you can't develop a virus or some other app that has access because everything in there is encrypted with a key that only the app knows. So that is the principle of a developer enclave. But even developer enclaves, in my view, are not super safe. There are problems with it. There are, for example, a virus may not access the key directly, but a virus may capture, for example, your keyboard. If it captures your keyboard and captures your password, you may still be at risk even if the keys are protected in a developer enclave, which is why I recommend hardware wallets. Blanket says, which ones would you recommend, JF? Well, there's been lots of noise around Ledger recently. Ledger has they've been talking about enabling an option that precisely people were fearing that basically Ledger was becoming like a software wallet, giving too much access to the chip that gives its seeds keys. So I used to always recommend Ledger. If you have been scared by the recent FUD around Ledger, go for Trezor. It's also very safe. If you want maximal security, if you're talking about millions of dollars, perhaps the best option would be a multi-sig wallet operated with a combination of one Trezor and one Ledger. If you want to be super serious about it, that would be probably the path I would take if I'm thinking about millions and millions of dollars. So yeah, we're going to go through the victims of this hack and what they have to say publicly. Atomic Wallet, mass hack. Today, I lost a total of more than $50,000 in USDT, BTC, ETH, etc. from my Atomic Wallet. At first, I thought I had messed up somewhere and somehow got a virus on my Mac. But then my friend sent me a link to Twitter, and it turns out that many people were hacked today as well. I don't know what to do in such situations. I hope someone from the administration of major exchanges reads this post and blocks the hackers' wallets. So one thing that can be done sometimes when it's a known hack and it has led to a very identifiable set of bitcoins, you can have exchanges, they will refuse any entry of that money going forward. So it doesn't allow you to recover the funds, but it allows you to know that those stolen funds will not make it to the mainstream system of exchanges. It's a very small consolation, of course. We can see this guy lost 0.3 BTC here, 39,000 TRX, 34,000 USDT, 2.2 ETH. Those are big losses, and I note that it is on Mac. So it's possible that everyone affected, we don't know yet, but it's possible that it was only on a specific platform. It could have been Mac, it could have been iOS, it could have been Android, but this guy is on Mac. So it tells me that if it's platform specific, it's going to be Mac. Good news for anyone who has sense and doesn't buy this crap Mac, but that's what it is. Blanket says, also, Jeff, is Odyssey safe from this? Odyssey is an extremely password-based and software-based system. Therefore, I do not consider Odyssey a safe storage crypto solution, not by any standard. And there's no way to make Odyssey safe because Odyssey is operating with coins that you can basically unlock with a password. So no, I wouldn't stack lots of money in the form of LBC credits, because they will always be stuck with the fact that their blockchain is by its own nature software. It is not a blockchain that is well designed for safe storage. But of course, the goal of Odyssey is not to make money nor to store money in the long term. But yeah, you have to be conscious that I wouldn't stack a bag of LBC. I'm only stacking a bag of LBC because I'm a creator, so I receive super chats in that form. But otherwise, I wouldn't keep the... If it was a massive amount of money, I would not trust the library blockchain with safe storage. Someone reports on Twitter, I lost 4.2 BTC. Ouch! That must hurt. And he shows us the blockchain transaction. Indeed, 4.2 BTC transferred. So the hack began yesterday. The first victim of the hack began on June 2nd, and we are now on June 3rd. And from the last news, 2 hours ago, there were still funds being transferred out of people with a Atomic wallet. So first we can talk about what would you do if you... I recommend that you don't use software wallet, but what do you do when you happen to use a software wallet and you start hearing about lots of people being hacked? The first thing to note is that if it's a chain supply hack, so you have to consider various hypotheses. Is it a chain supply hack or is it a virus hack? If it's a virus hack, the question is whether your computer has a virus or your phone. If it's a chain supply hack, then someone introduced in the updates of this hack from the top of the company into the App Store, and it's an exploited version of the software that you have on your platform. In any case, whether it's one or the other, I highly recommend you close the device. You don't go to look in your wallet, because the moment you click on your wallet, they're going to ask for your password, and this may be the point at which the hacker gets your info. So the first thing to do is close the computer so that it, or the phone, close it completely. Then you take your backup seed words, your 12 or 24 words, you restore them on a safe computer, on an alternate platform, on an alternate type of wallet. So most of the wallets, they will use 12 or 24 words and it will be interchangeable between the wallets. For example, you can install Electrum Superfresh on a fresh computer, and you can take the 12 words or the 24 words of your Atomic wallet and put them on Electrum, and you're going to gain control of your coins that way. By doing this, you avoid touching the potentially compromised computer, and you avoid touching the potentially compromised password secured private keys on that software wallet. So that is the best practice. You start a whole new laptop, whole new Electrum. You take control of your coins through the seed keys, and then you send them. You want to send them out before turning back on your potentially compromised device. You send them out to a wallet that you are sure you control. So that could be a Ledger wallet that you started on a separate computer, something like this. You send them out so that they are secured from when you turn back on your device to assess the issues. Big Tech Exodus says, why don't people just use dedicated cheap laptops with Linux and full disk encryption for a wallet? Well, why do people... because people are lazy. People are, oh, it's been working. The thing is, we knew that this was a fundamental flaw. And let me tell you, I'm super worried when I consider that MetaMask is one of the most popular options out there. MetaMask is a very popular way to interact with the ETH blockchain. And it's a very minority of people who know that you can connect a hardware wallet like Ledger to MetaMask. That's a safe way to use MetaMask. But a lot of people, they install this Google Chrome extension. It's a Google Chrome extension that protects a lot of funds in the crypto space, MetaMask, a Chrome extension that you can click just above all of the phishing scams of the internet. It's totally dangerous. Totally dangerous. DK Shadow says, yep, huge gold mine if they can compromise MetaMask. Yeah, so all of these eventually will fall, I'm afraid. Eventually, there will be someone patient enough to be, because this person seems to be looking for the scraps. I see him on the blockchain right now. I look at his movements. He's grabbing one wallet at a time. So he's not even automated. So he's not even at the dream of stealing from 1 million wallets. He's stealing from one wallet at a time. He's sending on multiple blockchains. He is very efficient in the sense that he's going to have made millions of dollars with this. But he's not megalomaniac efficient. Yeah, DK Shadow, he says, not even a script kiddie. No, it's a guy doing this very, very manually. And we're talking about countable number of hacks, you know. He's going through them one at a time. He's swapping on Uniswap toward the more valuable coins. And that's how it is for now. Blanket says, Jeff, do you think BTC will always be the best crypto? I don't know if it will be always, but let me tell you, when I saw the developments of the ordinals, I'm starting to think it might be forever. I'm starting to think that the Bitcoin developer community is willing to make Bitcoin better and better every time, and that there's nothing you can do that they won't integrate. Basically, they've integrated the NFT ID from other blockchains. And the NFT IDs, these inscriptions, could potentially do anything. Like you could make a computational power exchanges on Bitcoin now. You just have to make it in the form of an inscription contract and have other people respect those encryption contract in a certain way. So everything has become possible. So if it was just the Bitcoin blockchain and they wouldn't have developed ordinals, I would have told you it will be the best for decades, but maybe it will be replaced one day. But when I look at ordinals, I say, no, it might be the best forever. Bird Flu says, define best. ETH has way more function than BTC. Yeah, but arguably it loses itself due to this. It loses itself into a slew of nothingness and scams, and people start being annoyed. You know, all the scams, they run on ETH, and it's like, holy shit, you've developed so many possibilities that you've attracted the worst of humanity. This was 1 year ago, more than a year ago, disclosure of security vulnerabilities in Atomic Wallet audited by Least Authority. So it was an audit company. They didn't publicly provide the exact weaknesses, but they were saying, in the way we looked at their developer methods, they're not using the best. And so in the way they handle the cryptography of the seeds, they are potentially at risk. So 1 year ago, you had people being warned that this particular software wallet was not even using best practice by the standard of software wallet. And in my view, the best practice software wallet is still at risk. But they weren't using the best practices, and that might be why hackers have been interested at attacking them specifically. Rich Vanderberg says 0.53 BTC lost about 4 a.m. today. All funds, XRP, XLM, and Bitcoin gone. Damn it, says Ron Boiling. I've been tracking some of the destination addresses that we can trace up to now. This is an Ethereum address. The hacker seems to be accumulating Ethereum and Bitcoin in separate addresses that are confined. This stems from total received 56 ETH. So $100,000 passed through this address. There's $300 left in it. So lots of circulation. This has also received, apparently, from a hacked wallet. There's $400 left in it. But there's, look at this. Total receive, $9 billion worth of ETH, 5 million ETH. Now, this could be a major exchange. And, you know, perhaps this is not the wallet of the hacker, but the funds are making it through routes on the network that I'm trying to trace. I am shaking right now. $690,000 gone. And I got stuff in staking. I'm fucking scared they can get access to that as well. Indeed. Very often a hacker will not go through the trouble of destaking your stuff, but your funds are not safe. Once the hacker has had access to the rest of your fund, the only reason he didn't take your staked stuff is that he didn't go through the trouble. Yes, I mean, the DK Shadow says literally shaking. Well, the leftists are often abusing this word, literally shaking, but I would be literally shaking and crying if I had lost $600,000 today, let me tell you. Same question from my side. How will they recover from this? Reputation is trust and gone forever. 8 different coins transferred out of my wallet. About $50,000 lost. My funds got stolen. 9 ETH. Please help. It seems that my wallet may have been compromised. What would be the option of tracking the fraudster? It is very strange, as I haven't fallen for any scam or leaked my secret. No, the scam, this is not a case where you are at fault. Unless we eventually later discover that this was tied to a particular virus. It looks like it may have been tied to no errors of yours other than keeping funds on a software wallet. 40,000 ADA. He gives the address of his wallet and everything. Here you can see 150,000 USDT being transferred on some the ADA. That's the ADA blockchain. $15,000 worth of money being transferred to the hacker. Earlier transaction date I have is June 2nd, and the latest transaction date is June 3rd, so it's been going on for 24 hours. Unchained, the drains look like this. Each token and then the base asset is swept from the victim's address to a new address. The hacker then swaps all the tokens for the base asset via Uniswap, MMSwap, and SunSwap. The hacker then sweeps that base asset balance to another new address. Here's a very incomplete and messy list of addresses where stolen funds stemming from the Atomic Wallet hack are currently sitting. All addresses that have been traced because some people have been kind enough to to say that this is my address and I've seen my funds disappear. Please include this one. USDT TRC20 bastard stole all I have in this world when hacked the Atomic Wallet website. So someone who has lost everything they had. I'm lost $32,000. Fiance's mother lost six figures. Please help. We have a Tron transaction on the blockchain. $160,000. I'm obfuscating it, but it's right there. $160,000 USD disappeared. I lost my 3.5 ETH and 0.17 BTC. Nothing else was taken. The wallet didn't even message me that any was that being sent out of it. Most of the time it would. Well, the problem is when you use a software wallet and you make the transactions from within the software wallet has all sorts of good features that you find practical. But when someone hacks you, they're not transferring your funds through the Atomic Wallet. They are reactivating your wallet on some other program, something like Electrum, and they're taking your funds from there. So that's why you didn't get an email notification. They interact directly with the blockchain rather than passing through your Atomic Wallet. No, I have this wallet from like 2021, never doubt about it. But today, for no reason, got drained almost $15,000. Literally the same, $250 of XLM that I held for years. I know it's not much and others lost more, but just honestly disheartening. Interesting timing too. I started looking into AWC token transactions on the ETH network. Peculiar movement. $291,000 worth of ETH from Atomic Wallet compromised, sitting in this address, hasn't moved in 4 hours. You can see it here, close to $300,000 Ethereum balance. This is collected from multiple addresses that have been stolen. All my main crypto, like Bitcoin and Litecoin, was stolen from Atomic Wallet. I just spent all my taxes building it up to pay my parents back. If you use that wallet, you better check. How much did she have? 19 LTC. I don't know how much it's worth. 0.1 BTC. That is really too bad because people lose everything they had. $8,000 gone. Last night, in less than 10 minutes, all my assets stolen, all ADA, BTC. The leftover was under staking, otherwise gone. This is all I had to invest. Who is responsible for this? I don't know if anyone here uses Atomic Wallet, but if so, get your money off it now. If it's still there, a friend just had $30,000 wiped. I've seen a lot of accounts on Twitter recommending get your money off now. You may be sending people to the wolves here. My recommendation is get your money off by using a safe place. Not using the wallet that you suspect could be or that you don't even know. Like, don't even check it. Don't even click on it. Don't even type your password. Go on a secure device. Restore your seed keys as quick as you can. You have time, probably. You have time if you haven't touched it. But the minute you touched it, it could be that moment where the hacker gets your password. If you hold any Bitcoin, send them to your cold storage ASAP. This is the kind of counseling that I find is misleading, very misleading. But then he proposes an interesting hypothesis. Atomic Wallet is going through a hard time. It is most likely linked to the latest BitCore update that was last week, as seen in their GitHub. So that is one thing I find absolutely fascinating about the modern state of security. You have these collectives of developers. They all work together on projects. They can easily insert a line on GitHub that no one will see. They can easily introduce some script in there that will send them emails about people's passwords and emails about people's private keys. And it would be very hard to catch. We have highly specialized teams that are, you know, sometimes there's just one guy who understands this file in your stack. Even the other guys, you would have to ask them, can you review his work and can you view any weakness in there? That's possible, but it's not always happening. And then these commits to the GitHub are being automatically sent to all the computers in the world. We have a supply chain issue of security here. It is ridiculous. All the computers in the world that are holding the internet together, you know, those Linux computers. You know, I update my Linux computer. It's like APT upgrade. You have 52 different updates available. Would you like to install them? Yes. And it automatically downloads from a central place. And it's like, I was like, one day there's going to be someone in these central places who can just insert a little thing in there, a little line that no one sees, and you're going to get everyone hacked at the same time. Thomas O'Ward says, he deleted his chat. Unfortunately, I have lost my DOT, USDC, and ETH today. Did not show my pass or key phrase to anyone, didn't interact with a DEX, and kept my key pass phrase on paper in the safe. I have no idea how that could happen. Well, now you know. $20,000 in crypto were stolen from the wallet. They got me for 4.2 BTC. We had seen this one earlier. That is what we have on this hack for now. Personally, I'm still confident in the safety of Ledger. But seeing this has awakened me that I need to have an extra layer of security. So I'm buying tonight some treasures, maybe even some other hardware wallets, and I'm going to start setting up multi-sig setups because there's not a single company that you, that I can fully trust. And there's not a single way of doing things that I can fully trust. And I think that multi-sig is the future. You know, there's not going to be a hack that makes two of the big companies fall at the exact same time. So I'm going to buy a couple of Trezors. I'm going to see how they do, and we're going to review them on the show. T.S. Apostolos says, Jeff, how much does this have to do with mobile wallets on cellular? We still don't know if the people who got hacked all were on Mac, all were on iPhone, or all were on Android. I have just one of the guys we've seen tell us what platform he was in. He was on Mac. So the answer is mobile isn't fundamentally less or more flawed than a desktop computer. But mobiles, they have very frequent updates. Mobiles perhaps are not subject to the same degree of care in the updates. You know, you update the mobile software apps, like you update 20 of them per week when you have an Android. If you just install a handful of apps on your phones, you're going to get 20 updates a week. So that's a point of attack. Bird Flu says, less antiviruses? No. Well, there are less antiviruses on phones, but the reason is that you use a central app store most of the time. So there are also less viruses. So there's different vectors of attack. Once we know more about the hack, and once we know more what is the one feature that everyone hacked had in common, we will be able to tell you, okay, that was the weakness that was exploited here. For now, I can't tell you. Shamrock says, what was the name of the cold storage company JF previously mentioned? I mentioned Ledger and Trezor. Those to me seem to be the most trustable. And I haven't tried Trezor yet, so I'll buy them tonight, and whenever they get delivered, I'll review them and I'll compare with Ledger. I still trust Ledger, but they scared me with their marketing flaw. Like, you've never known it, but you trust us. I don't like this attitude. In fact, I hope that this hack of the Atomic Wallet is a moment of realization for Ledger, and that they go back to not just say, we will put our project of seed shards in indefinite hold, we will stop it forever. I hope that Ledger takes the lesson here. The lesson is, if you design your stuff in a way that it's exportable, some hacker one day will export them for you. That is the lesson to learn for everyone, forever. Design your stuff so that it's impossible to export. And DK Shadow says, open source your stuff. That is one solution. You know, it's a balance of interests. More open source also means more eyes on how could we do to hack it. But in the end, if there's a weakness, you're going to have a community pushback, and you can hope that any weakness would be found by the community. Dino Logovic says, been driving and listening, feel sick in the guts, those poor people. Yeah, it really sucks. If you would like to support the show like Dino Logovic, use the dollar button under the Odyssey chat. Odyssey Super Chats are my favorite way to receive support for the show. Alternatively, feel free to use the link to Entropy. The link is in the description below. And if you'd like to see that dollar button under Odyssey chat, make sure you add a payment account in your Odyssey. Blanket says, Jeff, you don't have any confidence in any of them? Well, you know, the thing is, it's not. I have confidence that there are very good people in these corporations like Ledger and Trezor. But can you really put your entire wealth in the hands of, there's not going to be one mistake, there's not going to be one overlook, there's not going to be one evil person in the programming team? I mean, the promise of crypto is true property. But wherever there is true property, there is true theft also. Because, you know, back in the days when you were hacking bank websites, you know, in 1997, you were hacking bank websites, it was for the lulz. You were screenshotting your $1 billion, you were laughing it off with your friends, and then it would disappear. You'd never get a dollar from it. With crypto, it's different. If you hack crypto, it's your crypto. That is just the nature of... We hated the system so much. We hated the banks and the government so much that we developed something in which we decided to let the hackers away with the money. That's how little we trusted the central systems. We decided to take it upon ourselves that if our crypto was stolen, then it would mean that it's their crypto. That is quite fascinating when you think about it. We went for less, for something that is inherently less secure in terms of protecting against, you know, malicious overtakes. But we found that this malicious overtake risk was lesser than the risk of government and bank censorship. Barnaby Buto says, Trezor has a passphrase feature where you can set up sub-wallets unlocked by a specific string of characters, like a 25th word, but this one doesn't have to come from the original words list from which seeds are generated. Yeah, I understand. This 25th word, I've seen it on Ledger also. I'm not super fascinated by this. I'm more looking up toward a true multi-sig setup with Electrum on independent laptops from independent IPs. You know, and it's like there's been a development of a blockchain standard for ordinals. And I don't like it. I don't like software layers on stuff, especially when it comes down to the blockchain. I like to interact with the blockchain in a native way. And, you know, they developed this whole standard for ordinals, where the ordinals would be on the original wallet. The transaction would be created. And then instead of transferring the SAT containing or associated with the ordinal, you would basically just have a transfer function, and you make an inscription that says, I transfer this ordinal to this wallet. Now, my problem with this is, at the blockchain level, the SAT is still stuck on the original wallet that had created it. It's an abstraction that you just transferred it. An abstraction that will require all developers of all software to respect this transfer. And there are some problems that are inherent to these kind of ways of interpreting that we do in programming, these covenants of respect that we impose. For example, one of them being, suppose I transfer the ordinal to you using this new function. Well, what if I take the SAT that created the inscription and then I transfer it to a neo-Nazi wallet? And then it's like the collection that I just sold you, that you bought, that you knew you had because I had transferred the function to you. Now this collection is suddenly associated with a terrible reputation, like the worst wallet. Like, I pour it down into a wallet that has porn in it also. What are you going to do? You paid for something, you genuinely believe it was yours, but I ruined it later. So I don't like these abstraction layers. DK Shadow says, what? It's abstractions all the way down. Always has been. Barnaby Buto says, by the way, Jeff, when I received my treasure 2 years ago, it was giving a 12 words seed by default. I had to play in the BIOS to get 24 words. Hopefully they changed that since. Yeah, I'm a big fan of 24 words. It's like 12 words? That's 12 words must be pretty easy to find. I know they will tell you that mathematically it's hard to find, but I just don't believe it. Bird Flu says, would it be possible for AIs to scrub over the blockchain and change things? Not if the AIs don't have the capacity to crack a, whatever they call it, 2048 bits, giga, CSA, elliptic curve encryption. So it's not the problem of decoding what's at the root of blockchain security is not a matter of intelligence. We know exactly how you would decode someone's public keys from private keys from public keys. It's just that it's a very long to run algorithm. And doing it brute force is made to be a very, very long enterprise. Apparently, brute forcing a single wallet, you could put all of the, like if you were to decide, I want the seed keys of this wallet. Apparently, you could put all of the computers in the world on this task, and in 100 years, they wouldn't have found it. Blanket says, JF, when did you start getting into crypto? My first contact with crypto was when I did a Reddit post, Reddit AMA, when I was starting to host my new show, Neuro TV. And we were answering people's questions about science and all. And someone sent me a tip of $5 worth of Bitcoin then. And I was like, what is this? I want to hear about this. And it was like, /tip/JF Garyapi, $5. What is this? And eventually I learned about Bitcoins. Started having some Bitcoins, and I got some donations in Bitcoins. And eventually I sold them. And around 2017, I believe, is when I put everything I had in Bitcoin. It's when I said, all right, at around $7,000, I said, Bitcoin is the future. I'm not keeping any money because I don't trust the system. And any money I keep or build upon, it will be stolen by one of my exes, you know. So let's put everything in Bitcoin. That was a very good decision. Well, DK Shadow says you regret selling, don't you? Well, I sold, you know. The thing is, I sold very small amounts of Bitcoin. And sometimes I bought between 2013 and 2017. It's never been a big amount one way or the other. But in 2017, I decided, okay, Bitcoin is all that matters in the world. Mark D says, JF, do you have any idea how much that first $5 in BTC is worth now? I tried actually retracing this post. I couldn't. It seems it may have disappeared, or maybe I'm not searching properly. But yeah, I don't think it came to be massive, because I don't think I got that $5 like in 2012 or 2013. I think I may have gotten that $5 in 2013 or 14 or 15. I don't remember. Blanket says, Jeff, this was before you meet your girlfriend. Well, you mean what, Mama Jeff, or you? Because my girlfriend, that's a thousand different women. Henrik Palgram says, according to a person close to Tucker Carlson, Elon Musk will be launching a competitor to YouTube on Twitter called Xvideo. Apparently, Fox News is still paying Tucker to not have a show and keep him off the airways, but they never included Twitter in the long list of places where Tucker isn't allowed by Fox News to broadcast. So this is a legal loophole for Tucker to continue producing a show. I don't know. I find this theory very surprising that Fox News would have written, you cannot be on a competing site like CNN, YouTube, and that they wouldn't have added at the end, or any other thing of this kind. You always see this in contracts. I'd be very surprised that Fox News lawyers are so stupid that they will actually list the platforms and not add or any other platform. That is pretty standard phrasing, but still, no matter what this, whether this story is true about Fox News and Tucker Carlson, Elon Musk opening Xvideo, that would be fucking awesome. I'm so happy about it. I'm publishing tonight's show on Twitter. I want to be on Xvideo. X. I love it. I love it. It's going to be a game changer. Grim Side. Did you know from Morbid Knowledge on Twitter, over 200 dead bodies lay along the route to the top of Mount Everest. The bodies are used as landmarks by climbers and have been given nicknames, such as Green Boots. Wow, Green Boots. A man who has died trying to get to Mount Everest and his body is staying there forever because no one will go through the trouble of collecting him and bringing him back. Now, this one is super disgusting, so don't watch if you are easily disgusted. A cancerous lesion of some kind was growing into someone for years, but it got removed in seconds. Look at this. They opened the skin of the person. Look at this. Ah! This is enormous. Ah! A big ball of flesh living in someone. Wow. It could be a baby. Holy shit. Blanket says, JF, do you also think we also get Tucker to do his show on Odyssey? I'm not seeing Tucker on Odyssey. I'm totally seeing Tucker on Twitter. Bird Flu says, I remember seeing a meme that basically said, I also see Tucker potentially on Rumble. You know, you never know. I remember seeing a meme that basically said every corpse on Everest was once a highly motivated person, so maybe chill. Okay, we finally got a signing of the debt ceiling bill ending months-long political battle. Joe Biden signed it, so it passed. Just like I expected, it passed. They had, of course, enough Democrats wanting this. Terrible assault here, just to show how unsafe the schools are getting. Sorry about the sound here.
What the fuck? Oh!
Fire extinguisher on the back of the head. I mean, this is super heavy. This is extremely dangerous. You're gonna kill someone. Like, this guy could be dead. I don't know, but he could be dead. 800,000 Marylanders inadvertently become driving billboards for Filipino gambling website. So they had on Maryland plates, they had added this URL, starspangled200.org, which back in the days when it was started was talking about the history of the war of 1812. But the internet is always alive. The internet rolls faster than any of your DMV systems. And so people bought this plate. And in 2012 to 2016. But now the URL has been bought by Casino, a Filipino gambling website. So now their plates are leading to that website. A trove of nearly 10,000 Hunter Biden laptop photos and documents appear on a new organized website, BidenLaptopMedia.com. Apparently, it was started by Garrett Ziegler, a former Trump White House aide. I find it a little. I'm not going to click on this link. Okay, I have said it before on this show. I have seen enough Hunter Biden dick pics in my life. I don't want to see any more. And it's all old news. They are putting these photos that have been in the public domain for a long time now. Why is he doing this? I don't know. Maybe just he lacks attention, perhaps, now that he's not Trump's aide anymore. I don't know. It's bizarre. Bizarre that it emerges now. But like, I guess it's all in the attacks on Joe Biden. Mark D says the pics are censored. Oh, Mark D, you went to see. I don't really care if the pics are censored. You know, it's all Hunter Biden's sex and drug life. I've chosen against this. I've chosen against smoking crack and fucking hookers. I'm not interested in seeing another man going through this because I find this very pathetic in the end. Like, it's pathetic how this guy was taking pictures of these moments that he was probably paying a very high price for these girls, you know, either directly because they were prostitutes or in some cases they were probably, you know, these kinds of girlfriends who drain a lot of energy from you and a lot of money. And it's like, oh, okay, you got money because your dad is Joe Biden and you're involved in all this corruption. And therefore, you can get these girls that are, you know, half cute. They're not like wonderful cute. They're not top model cute. They're not 10 out of 10, these girls. So I've seen enough of these photos that I don't need a full website documenting them. Someone was asking before the show began, YouTube has new content rules. It will no longer remove content about election fraud in 2020 U.S. presidential election. Okay, but it's like, their censorship at YouTube is always at the moment where they think they can revert the state of things. Like, memes are all about the moment where they happen. I would have liked to cover election fraud content, even if I don't believe very much in the election fraud theory. I believe more in an explanation where, okay, the laws for voting have been softened intentionally. And in collaboration with this, there has been strong harvesting operations. But I'm not into the whole, you know, the whole fraud, like explicit fraud happening in the sense of some evil megalomaniac putting something in the machine and, oh, on this camera we see that there's some bad behavior by this truck driver who's carrying all these votes. I know that the system has been loosened and that this was exploited in horrible ways and sometimes illegal ways by the Democrats. But I don't think we have to present it as fraud. I think what's happening is even more dirty. It's that they can do it again. And they will do it again, and it's kind of not fraud. It's more like social pressure and various incentives where basically someone is throwing massive amounts of money at elections and it trickles down and down into like the most poor areas of these cities, and they end up basically half extorting the population to vote for Joe Biden. That is more what I think. That being said, I would have liked to cover the election fraud stuff when it was happening so that we could review it rationally and say, oh, I agree with this, I disagree with this. But I couldn't do this when it mattered. And now doing this in 2023, oh, we are back to free speech on the 2020 US question. That is why I just don't trust YouTube, because I know that if there's a meme that's really bringing audience to me, and if there's a meme that we could cover and that is very important to current society, they're going to censor it the way they went after vaccines, hate, fraud, election fraud, and what else. I mean, they went after everything I've been wanting to cover. So I'm not going to build a following on YouTube knowing that they will cut the grass under my feet as soon as something interesting rises. Blanket says, JF, I heard the reason is because they're going to say when Don wins, that's why YouTube changed their TOS. Okay, so you think they're doing this in preparation to claim that, oh no, Donald Trump has committed election fraud. Well, that would be quite a fascinating reversal, let me tell you. Quite a fascinating reversal. Massimo says, how can you visualize the entire observable universe in a relatively small rectangular area using the logarithmic scale as Pablo Carlos Butassi did, locating the most notable astronomical objects as far away as the edge of time? Ah, oh, that's a beautiful way to illustrate the universe. Now, I think that the passage here between the Milky Way and the edges of the observable universe is not very well done. But I think this could be done better in layers. But right now what we have is, okay, the solar system, the planets, then other planets here, then galaxies around us. Now, big galaxy here, and then we have the big galaxies of the past, and then we have the background noise of the universe, the furthest distance that we see. I like it. I think there's potential. The idea is good. The implementation, not so good. FDA warns consumers not to use certain versions of popular drug. The U.S. and Food and Drug Administration warned consumers not to use off-brand versions of weight loss drugs Ozempic, Rybelsus, and Wegovy, because they may not have the same ingredients. Those off-brand versions of the drugs are possibly unsafe or ineffective. Drug compounding is the process of combining, mixing, or altering ingredients to create a medication tailored to the needs of an individual patient. Compounding includes the combining of two or more drugs. Compounded drugs are not FDA approved, and the agency does not verify the safety or effectiveness of compounded drugs. Blanket says, JF, you know it's true when YouTube censors it. Look at the information they censored when people started talking about the jab. Yeah, they have a very bad record, which is why I'm so happy. Even if we do less audience and I do less money here, I'm so much more happy. And my happiness is not negotiable. I have reached a point in my life where I can enjoy having the luxury of saying no. Because there were times in my life I had to grind. I had to submit myself to anyone throwing money at me. But I've reached comfort and financial health and life and family health. And so I'm so happy when I think about the fact that I'm not at YouTube anymore. I've recovered my freedom of speech. Isn't that fucking amazing to be able to say every night what I think I love it. The aggregated black death toll of 150 years of race riots comes out to less than the number of white people killed by blacks in the last 4 years. You know, there were leftists trying to push these black massacres, these kind of moment where the evil white man coordinated and just went slashing throats of black people. It turns out, if you count 150 years of these racist events, it sums up to the equivalent of 4 years. 4 years of black-on-white murders. Isn't that fascinating? Someone was saying, can you see? There's a woman and she has six toes. And I wrote, are you paying attention yet? And I want to specify, because some people seem to be taking this tweet seriously. I was just trying to mock this meme of, are you paying attention yet? Because I find it quite annoying to, you know, I've seen it too much. I'm tired of it. And it's always the conspiracy kind of guy who says it. Are you paying attention yet? Like, here's what's happening in your child's library. Are you paying attention yet? Do you know what's happening? And so I decided to say, are you paying attention yet, to a completely irrelevant tweet. I don't think, is that Halle Berry? Halle Berry? I think it is. I don't know actresses. Now, as far as having six toes, I don't know. It may be a bad perspective, a bad angle. It may be computer modified. Someone was hypothesizing that it could be the side of her feet, basically. It could not be a toe, but rather the junction between her little toe and the side of her feet. Any of these explanations makes sense to me. I was not trying to state that there was anything important about this picture. I was just mocking the, are you paying attention yet? Pedro Gonzalez says, a lawsuit filed by the mother of a 15-year-old girl states that her daughter was attacked and severely beaten by a 17-year-old male in the girls' restroom of Edmond Memorial High School in Oklahoma. The male student made previous threats of violence against the victim. So this is a transgender transgender woman, transgender girl. I don't know, what do we say when they're young? Trans, from male to female, trans attempt. And this person had been threatening this girl in the girl's bathroom. It had brought the police, and they had just searched him for knives or stuff of that kind. They hadn't found anything, so they had kind of abandoned this case. And now she got actually assaulted, severely beaten. And it's important because in Oklahoma, it's against the law to have the male students, even if they are transgender, to have the male students in the girls' bathroom. And the school is making the argument, oh, we didn't know that this person was male. That's interesting. So the leftists are trying to still push for transgender bathroom transfers, even when it's against the law. And they argue naivete. Isn't that fascinating? I didn't expect such a defense would rise, something like this, that they would challenge basically their local state laws. Florida woman was shoplifting when her car with two children inside burst into flame. Bro, how can you be leaving your children in the car first? How can you be shoplifting as you are leaving your children in the car. It's already a risk to leave children in the car at all because of sun, because of CO poisoning, because of kidnapping risks. I mean, don't leave children alone in the car. Second layer, don't shoplift while with your children. Don't shoplift at all, indeed. But third, don't leave your children in the car with fuel or whatever it is that blew up. Don't leave your children with explosive in the car while shoplifting. A Florida mother was busy shoplifting inside a department store when her car suddenly burst into flames with her two children trapped inside. Alicia Moore, 24, parked her car outside the Dillard department store at the Oviedo Mall on May 26 with her two young kids inside who could not care for themselves. After the explosion, nearby shoppers and witnesses jumped into action and helped rescue the children inside. One child suffered first-degree burns to the face and ears. Moore was arrested and charged with aggravated child neglect and arson, as well as petty theft and battery charges. Covey Killer Clown sends a super chat. He says... okay, it's a funny joke, but I won't read this one. I don't think it's against the rules, so I don't have to remove your super chat, but it's not a good look. Your joke is not a good look, okay? Not a good look. Minors banned from attending Orlando Furry Convention under new Florida law. Well, thank God. Furry conventions cannot welcome minors because holy shit, does there seem to be a bunch of weird people at these conferences? This is a based Florida law. I love it. So the furry is considered some kind of sex fandom, of sex acting. And therefore, you cannot bring children there. I love it. What else do we have before we conclude the show? Three different attitudes towards stitches. In England, if you need stitches, your appointment is in 43 months. In America, if you need stitches, your bill is $67,000. In Canada, if you need stitches, have you considered dying? I love this comparison. And finally, a hilarious title from the New York Post. Making woman look dumb is a disturbing new podcast trend. There are these evil podcasters. They set up these specific situations in which precisely the woman is very likely to look dumb. Does someone want to tell them? Thank you.